Buenos dias. Welcome to the People Power Everything podcast. I am your host, John Dallas, and I believe that there is power in the masses. The goal of this podcast is to talk about that power, how we can help it manifest itself for all of us, and some lessons I've learned along the way. Hello, dear listener, and welcome back. As I was thinking about what to put down on the page this week, I kept coming back to the notion of control, the idea of having agency over our lives. It's a powerful thought, and one that brings me back a few years to the beginning of my graduate studies. Very naively, when I applied to the program, I had to write a letter outlining my interests and intentions. Very innocently, naively is more the right word, knowing nothing, I said I wanted to study how people are motivated at work. So I started reading, researching, writing papers about motivation, and I quickly came to realize the subject is massive. Just defining motivation takes up entire books. There's so many ways to look at it. One of those ways is self-determination theory. And self-determination theory is a framework. It emphasizes people's innate psychological needs for autonomy, competence, and relatedness. It suggests that individuals are driven to fulfill these needs. And when they do, they're more likely to experience greater motivation, well-being, and personal growth. So if you've been listening to me a little while or reading me a little while, I've brought up basic psychological needs of autonomy, competence, and relatedness before. I had a flash about autonomy while putting the final touches on a talk I'm building. Maybe you'll hear it or see it one day. One of the things I bring up is a Viktor Frankl quote. So he wrote in Man's Search for Meaning. He wrote that between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. While what Frankl says is meant in the same way, Danny Kahneman discusses a similar concept in his book, Thinking Fast and Slow. He describes the two systems of thinking. System one, which is fast, intuitive, automatic. It's reaction. System two, which is slower, more deliberate, analytical. Kahneman emphasizes that between the stimulus and response, there's an opportunity for system two to intervene and to exert control over our automatic reactions, to overcome our biases. He suggests that becoming aware of this space allows us to make more reasoned and beneficial decisions, rather than simply reacting impulsively based on instinct or emotion. In taking control of our response, we become more autonomous. One practical thing that you can do, that you can use at home or at work, to harness the power of the space between stimulus and response, is mindfulness practice. Being present, knowing what's going on with your body, with your breath. By cultivating mindfulness, we can develop the ability to observe our thoughts, our emotions, our bodily sensations without immediately reacting to them, just feeling as things come through and noticing them. And through techniques like meditation, just deep breathing, or simply pausing to check in with yourself, we can create a mental space that can consciously help us choose how we respond to a given situation. This heightened awareness enables us to better align our actions with our values and our goals, rather than being driven solely by automatic reactions, by our biases. This can be something as simple as counting to 10. You know, when your mom told you before you punch your sister, count to 10 and think about it. That never happened to me at all, ever. But it's something we can do literally when we're going too quickly, you know, turn our tongue enough times to slow down our thoughts and think about what we're really going to say here. Another strategy is reflective journaling. So this can help leverage the space between stimulus and response by regularly documenting experiences, reactions, and the thought process behind them. We can gain valuable insights into our patterns of behavior and decision-making. I'm not kidding. You're writing down decisions we make and why we made them and how we're thinking about them. It gives us the opportunity to learn. It gives us the opportunity to practice identifying our triggers, recognizing recurring emotional responses, and exploring alternative ways of interpreting and responding to situations. What could I have done better there? Well, when you think about it, the next time you'll probably think about it some more and you'll probably change your behavior. Through all this self-exploration, we can gradually cultivate a repertoire of adaptive strategies and coping mechanisms, empowering ourselves to navigate challenges with greater confidence and intentionality. Do what we want to do. We learn from our experiences. And by doing this very, very consciously, the practice will get us closer to perfection. Maybe, kind of. It'll make us better anyways. At least it'll reduce the regret of snap judgments, we hope. We should think about how we can use this at home and at work. At work, anything that drives autonomy should be explored. I encourage you to. Autonomy at work is fundamental to fostering employee well-being and productivity. When people are granted autonomy in their work, how they do it, where they do it, when they do it, if these are things you can influence, I would encourage you to. That's empowering people to make decisions, to set goals, to manage their time and their tasks according to their unique strengths and preferences. Not everybody works the same. And this sense of control over one's work not only fuels intrinsic motivation, so people doing things just for the pure joy of doing them, but also cultivates that greater sense of ownership, that accountability, and the commitment to the organization's mission. Autonomy encourages creativity, innovation, problem solving. My God, we just can't get enough of it. As employees feel empowered to explore new ideas and approaches without fear of micromanagement. What's more, it fosters a culture of trust and respect between employers and employees, between leaders and their staff. It leads to higher job satisfaction, higher retention rates. Ultimately, embracing autonomy in the workplace not only benefits individuals, but also contributes to the overall success and sustainability of the organization. Now, don't you want that? In thinking about this journey of understanding control and agency over our lives, it became evident to me that our responses to stimuli hold tremendous power. Is it stimuli? Stimuli? Anyways, stimulus, the plural. By consciously taking the time to learn from those who research and write about these things, and from ourselves, probably most importantly ourselves, we uncover pathways to greater autonomy and intentional living. Practical approaches like mindfulness and reflective journaling, they offer real-life tools to learning to harness the space between stimulus and response. It helps us with life challenges, gives us more clarity and purpose. I mean, it can just be counting to 10 or turning your tongue or just saying, we need a minute to think. Like, give me a minute to think. You're allowed to say that. These strategies empower us to pause, to reflect, and to respond in alignment with our values and goals. As we learn from our experiences and refine our responses and get better at this, we inch closer to mastering the art of deliberate action. Now that's powerful. And it'll ultimately enrich our lives with greater fulfillment and authenticity. Another thing I remind my listeners of in the talk is that there's a human at the other end of all our communications, unless you're talking to a robot or a chatbot or whatever. It's important to think about this in our hyper-connected world where we're responding to another person via a screen, a text, an email, with a keyboard, be it a small keyboard, a big keyboard. It's easy to forget that there's a person at the other end. There's a person at the other end of every conversation. And we know that people power everything. So I hope this has given you something to think about, something maybe to try, that you can slow yourself down, stop making snap reactions, take a minute to think, or longer, you know, take a walk and just think about something. See where your brain goes. Maybe we'll all be better off if we do that. I think so. I hope you have a great day and week ahead and that you get some time to reflect. That's what I wish for you this week. Thanks very much for listening. I will talk to you very soon. Love you.